The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, he who is coming into the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Do you believe? With respect to Shakespeare and his most famous creation, that is the question. And the answer Ken Seaman gave was an unconditional yes. When it came to the truth of the gospel of God, he had no doubts. Yet, because of the depth of his faith and the love he had for his parishioners, he had no difficulty allowing doubts in others. The day after Ken's death, I ran into a woman here at Holy Faith who told me, "I am not always a good Christian, and I have doubts, but Father Ken never minded my doubts." When people came to him, worried that they were losing their faith, he would assure them that the fact that they were concerned over the state of their faith meant that it was active and alive. His faith was a rock, because it was so solid, so unmovable, people could climb onto it, use it as a platform, a base from which to move higher on their own faith journey. Quite a change from the first part of his life, certainly from his life as a secular man in a secular environment, teaching English literature at the University of Kentucky. Many of you have heard or read the story, how after his faith had been kindled, a bishop one day surprised Ken by telling him he should become a parish priest, and how Ken told the bishop all the reasons why he couldn't, shouldn't, and wouldn't become a parish priest, and how 6 months later, he and Caroline found themselves selling their house and, yes, heading off to seminary. God had a job for Ken Seaman, a job that would take him and Caroline to St. Louis, Missouri, and Sturgis, Michigan, and El Paso, Texas, and Paradise Valley, Arizona, and Lake Forest, Illinois, and Vail, Colorado, and even to Rome, Italy, where Ken served for 2 summers at the church that Michael Vono would lead so successfully for 18 years. And finally, God brought him to Holy Faith, where he took over a church that had been rocked by scandal and was reeling financially and spiritually. In time, God used Ken Seaman, along with faithful priests such as Dean Peggy Patterson and faithful members of this parish, to turn Holy Faith around, stabilize it, heal it, and eventually make it flourish. For all of that, Ken was loath to take credit. As I said the Sunday after his death, a compliment paid him for something done well usually was met with a "Praise God." And so we do praise God, but one of the things we praise him for is the gift of Ken Seaman to this church and to this diocese, which he served, among other things, as president of the standing committee and as a reader of exams for those seeking ordination. And for them, he was not only a reader, but a mentor. One of Ken's favorite phrases came from Psalm 96. "Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." And he, along with friend and director of music Mark Childers and many others, worked to install music and liturgy here that promoted just that, the beauty of holiness. Father Ken was an Anglo-Catholic, and as we know, true Anglo-Catholicism is not just smells and bells, not ritualism, but service. And Father Ken, especially in his work for the community shelter and at the shelter, promoted and modeled service to the community, especially to the homeless and the hungry. Yet, because of his stance on certain issues facing the church, a stance born of his understanding of both scripture and tradition, Father Ken was misunderstood by many. More than once, people drawn by the beauty of our liturgy entered our church warily, only to discover that the Ken Seaman that they had been told about bore no resemblance whatsoever to the Ken Seaman they found. As one couple, devastated by his death, put it, "We have never been as loved by a priest as we were by Father Seaman." Father Ken began his professional life as a teacher, and his love of teaching never left him. His forums and classes were popular, not only because of their content, but because it was often there that parishioners found they could learn more about his personal theology. One time, the subject of hell came up, and after some discussion, our rector was asked, "What about you, Father Ken? What do you think about hell?" He replied, "I try not to spend too much time thinking about hell. I find it more useful to be thinking about my relationship with the Savior." That wouldn't do for some in the class, and so he was pressed again and again. He tried to deflect the question, but ultimately he could not. One last time, but do you believe in hell? There was a long pause. The room grew still. Finally, a look of great peace came over his face, almost as if at that moment he was given a glimpse beyond the veil, and he said, I believe in paradise. As most of you know, Father Ken was not a go-along-to-get-along sort of priest. If he disagreed with you, he let you know it. But it rarely got personal with him, and when it did, he would repent of it. He was a man who was aware not only of the world's brokenness, but of his own brokenness, and his own need for forgiveness and redemption. But when it came to matters of principle, he was not averse to poking the bear, as he called it. As Bishop Michael knows, I think, probably very well, it's safe to say that he and our bishop did not agree on every issue. But that did not affect the deep affection he had for you, sir. An affection that I know was mutual, which was shown by your frequent presence at his hospital bed and your tender anointing of him at the time of his death. And you should know, sir, that he told me, and he told me this more than once, that you were the finest bishop he had ever served under by far. As many of you know, the work of a priest can be difficult. Years ago, at this very pulpit, at the ordination of a friend, he quoted a work by Lawrence Ferlinghetti that compared a poet to a high wire artist and used the phrase, spread-eagled in the empty air of existence. Comparing a priest to a high wire artist, Father Ken said that at times he felt that he was spread-eagled in the empty air of existence, fallen, inadequate, ill-prepared to serve our Lord. He told the ordinand that he would feel that way sometimes, but referencing the opening chapter of 1 Corinthians, he said to remember that God's folly was certainly wiser than man's wisdom. God's folly, if you will, made Ken Seaman a priest. And while when overloaded with work, he would sometimes remark, why would anyone want to become a priest? I know, and you know, and God knows, he wouldn't have been anything else. Ken Seaman was born to be a priest. Father Ken was not fond of long sermons, long being anything over 10 minutes. But nothing touching on his life would be complete without some words about his family. And here I want to begin by thanking his daughters, Jennifer and Catherine, for sharing the time they had with their father as he lay in the ICU, allowing a few of us to be with him, and on behalf of the parish, bid him farewell. Thank you both. But I have a special word for Caroline. Caroline and Ken shared a ministry. And though Ken was the front person, preaching and celebrating where his work was seen, without Caroline's support, without her taking charge of so many aspects of their life together, Ken's outward ministry would have been compromised or perhaps not even possible. On behalf of Holy Faith, I thank you for your ministry together. As for the time in the hospital, Caroline set the tone for the sharing of her husband. Her graciousness and concern for others in the midst of her own grief is something I will never forget. Caroline, Once again, on behalf of Holy Faith, I thank you for the last 9 years, as well as the last few days. And I speak for the entire parish when I say that we pray you will continue to call this your church home and us your church family. You are loved. Speaking of love, my last few moments, I want to turn to the altar, where in just a few minutes we will celebrate Christ's love for us, love that led him to his cross, led him to his resurrection, and to his ascension. One time I was in the sanctuary during a service. Father Ken turned on the top step and said softly, "It's an honor to serve at this altar." That could be said of every altar of Christ everywhere, in our diocese, in our nation, in the world. But Father Ken had a special love for the altar at Holy Faith, with the beautiful Agnus Dei, the Lamb triumphant on its front. It is therefore only right that some of Father Ken's ashes will lie under this very altar that he loved so dearly. His celebration of the Eucharist was lovely and precise and reverent and heartfelt, and so was his preparation. More than once, after the table had been set, I saw him notice that the corporal was the wrong side up. He would move everything, paten, chalice, flagon, lembox, off to the side. Take the corporal, turn it the correct side up. Carefully place it, smooth it out, and then, and only then, bring everything back, all in slow, deliberate movements. There never was any hurrying, any rushing. It's as if time already didn't matter to him, as if he already were in eternity. I'm tempted to end this sermon with Shakespeare, whom he loved, but I'm confident Ken already has heard flights of angels, as I'm confident he hears the earthly angels singing for us today. But as much as he loved choral music, I'm sure even the voices of angels can't match the following words of our Lord: "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And he was Christ's servant, faithful in prayer, in pastoring, in honoring the sacrifice of God in the Holy Eucharist. In my mind's eye, I can see him at the altar now, and will see him as long as memory holds. When his stepson, Scott, who is with us today, learned of his stepfather's death, he told Caroline, "When I think of cowboys, I think of John Wayne. When I think of priests, I think of Ken Seaman." So do we, Scott. So do we. I want to add one last thing. Last night, as the church was being prepared for this service, with the beautiful aromatic white flowers being brought in and placed, Mark said, "This is starting to feel like an Easter vigil." He was right, and that feeling is appropriate. After all, it is a mass of the resurrection, and it is because of our faith in the Lord's resurrection that we have faith we will see our departed friend, father, and husband again. So as the gospel passage centered on the question, "Do you believe?" let me end the sermon this way. Alleluia, Christ is risen.